change is hard. For the most part, we don't like change, and we resist change. Perhaps you can relate to this guy talking to his doctor. He says, I'm willing to make some lifestyle changes as long as I don't have to do anything different. Change. We don't like change. In Arizona, we won't even change our clocks. We just don't like change because change is hard. Even when we know that the change will be beneficial, even when we know that we should change something, we find it difficult. Maybe you know that you need to change some of your habits. Maybe you've got a self-destructive habit and you need to change, but it's hard to change, right? Maybe you need to start exercising and start eating better, but change is hard, right? Maybe you've got an issue with anger and you know that you need to do something about that. Maybe you need to get serious about your spiritual life, but change is hard because change is a process. A process that our friend Moses is going to find out about in today's lesson. We're taking a look at the book of Exodus. This is our second week. Last week we left off. Moses, a Hebrew child, unlike all the other Hebrew boys, did not get tossed into the Jordan to die. Instead, by the cleverness of his mother, he gets put into a little ark and floated up, and the Pharaoh's daughter sees him, falls for him, and decides to adopt him. So Moses was adopted by the Pharaoh's daughter. Now the scriptures are silent until 40 years later. So Moses is living in Pharaoh's palace as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But now 40 years later, we peek in. And he goes out and he sees what's happening with his people. He knew he wasn't an Egyptian. Okay, he knew that he was one of the Hebrew people. And he spots one of the Egyptian slave masters beating up one of the Hebrew slaves. Enraged by that, he springs into action. He ends up killing the Egyptian and hiding his body in the sand. He thinks he's a hero. Well, he goes from hero to zero really fast. Because all of a sudden, Pharaoh finds out, and Pharaoh puts a price in his head because he wants Moses dead. So now Moses, after living in the Pharaoh's palace for 40 years, has to escape from Egypt, and he ends up landing in a place called Midian. And things happen there, and he gets established, and he gets a wife, and he's got a couple kids. Now we fast forward 40 years later. 40 years later, he's pretty well settled in. He's into the family business of sheep herding. He's out with the flock. Everything is going well. Maybe he thinks about Egypt now and then. Maybe he thinks about his people. But at 80 years old, what's he going to do? Well, God has an idea. God has some big changes in store for Moses. But if God is going to call upon us to change something, if God is calling upon us, looking for us to change something in our life or even the direction of our life, the first thing we notice is this. There's God's presence. In other words, God comes to us. We don't have to go to him. God is going to take us right where we're at. So we pick it up in chapter 3, verse 2. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. All right, so here's the setup. He's out. He's a long ways from home, probably looking for greener pastures. Right? He's got his sheep grazing there, looks over, and he sees there's a bush that's on fire, but it's not being consumed. Now, this is odd. This is strange. The bush is on fire, but the bush is not being consumed. Curiosity gets him, probably would have gotten any of us, so he goes over there to find out what's happening. As he approaches the bush, all of a sudden, this messenger of the Lord, this angel of the Lord, cries out to him, Moses, Moses. Right? So this is no ordinary messenger. I mean, other than the fact that it's a talking bush, right? Get past that, right? When it says the angel of the Lord came down, oftentimes in the Old Testament and in this instance right here, the angel of the Lord is referring to the pre-incarnate Christ. This is Jesus before he was born in Bethlehem. So this is the Son of God calling out to Moses, saying, Moses, I've got work for you to do. No ordinary messenger is sent to Moses. And it's no ordinary fire, because this is the fire of God. The fire that won't consume the bush. This is the same fire that called Gideon into action. This is the same fire that landed on the heads of the apostles on Pentecost Sunday. This is the same fire that Jesus says, you'll be baptized with fire. And the fire of God means change. Whenever you see the fire of God in Scripture, that means there's big changes on the horizons. Big changes for Moses. Moses is going to leave sheep herding behind, and he's going to lead his people out of Egypt and into the promised land. Big changes for the apostles. They're not going back to being fishermen and tax collectors. No, they're going to change the world by spreading the gospel messages. And big changes for you, because in your baptism, your old self was drowned, and your new self was born. God being present in the water and the Word. He gave you a new life in Christ. Just like God is present in the bread and in the wine, his body and blood, and he gives you newfound strength and new hope. When God calls upon us to change, a change in our life, change in direction of life, it always starts with God's presence, because God comes to us. And God meets us right where we're at. Notice what God says to Moses. We have to go down to verse 7. He says this. He says, I know their sufferings. He's talking about the Israelites. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. God is coming to them. God comes to Moses where he is as a sheep herder. God comes to his people in Egypt, and God comes to us when he puts on flesh and blood, and he becomes a human born of Mary. God always comes to us. He comes to us and makes his presence known. So if God's calling us to change, whatever that might be, it starts with God and God's presence. And then there's God's plan, because God's always got a plan. He's got a plan here. He says, I've looked down, I've seen the oppression of my people, and enough is enough. I'm not going to put up with it anymore. I'm going to deliver my people out of the hands of the Egyptians. And he says, and I know exactly how I'm going to do it. So that's where we pick up in verse 10. So he says to Moses, come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. That's his plan. That's a great plan. He's going to send Moses back to Egypt to get his people. Now, maybe if this was 40-year-old Moses, 40-year-old Moses who springs into action against the Egyptian, and he gets so enraged that he ends up killing the Egyptian. I could see him going toe-to-toe with the Pharaoh, saying, you let my people go, right? But 80-year-old sheep herder Moses? Yeah, I'm having trouble seeing that one, right? It just doesn't quite make sense to me. And obviously, it doesn't make sense to Moses either, because this is how Moses responds. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? He says, have you noticed, God? I'm 80 years old, sheep herder, right? Got a couple of kids. Who am I to do this? Now the problem is this. Moses asked the wrong question. He said, who am I? And you notice God doesn't answer that question. In other words, God doesn't say, oh, come on, Moses, you can do it. Moses, I believe in you. Moses, you grew up in the palace, so you're the perfect person to negotiate their release. Moses, you're a young 80. You can do it. None of that, because he's asked the wrong question. You see, it's not who am I, but God, who are you? It's not who am I, but God, who are you? And that's how God answers him. So look at the next verse. God said, but I'll be with you. And I don't know if he had that intonation. That's what I hear when I read that. Kind of a statement of fact. Well, Moses, what are you talking about? I'll be with you. Obviously, Moses, this isn't about you. Moses will be his instrument. He'll be his servant. But this is about what God is going to do. So the question is not, who am I? But God, who are you? And in a very real way, Moses asked that very question. When he says, when I go to the people, they're going to say, so who sent me? And they're going to ask me your name. What he's actually asking is, so God, who are you? Right? God, who are you to go up against the Egyptians? Who are you to go up against Pharaoh? Who are you to go up against their multitude of gods that they have over there? And that's when God gives them the answer. You tell them, I am who I am. And say, well, that's odd. That's a strange thing to say. This is what God's saying. I am the ever-present God. I always have been present. I always will be present. I'm not the God from the past. I'm not some God in the future. I am. I am the ever-present, mighty God. That's who's with Moses, the great I am. So God is going to go with them. You got to make sure you ask the right question. If God's calling upon you to make a change in your life, if you're asking, yeah, but who am I? You got a multitude of excuses. I don't have enough self-discipline. I'm not strong enough. I'm not smart enough. I don't have the time. You could go on and on with all the things that you can't do. But it's not what who am I, but God, who are you? And he is the great I am. He is the one who said, I am with you to the end of time. You can bet whenever Jesus said, I am, he was referring back to this passage right here. He is claiming himself to be the Son of God. So the Son of God who said to Moses, I am who I am, says to you, I am with you to the end of the age. If God's calling upon you to make a change, God's got a plan, and God is the ever-present help with you every step along the way. And God's going to provide, because that's the last thing, is God's provision. Now, Moses, he had questions about that provision, because Moses did his best to get out of going back to Egypt. He starts by saying, well, the people aren't going to believe me, so that's not going to work. God dismisses it. He says, well, Pharaoh, he's not going to show me any respect. So God gives him two miraculous signs. He says, throw it on your staff, it becomes a snake. Put your hand in, it comes out leprous. Put it back in, now it's clean again. So he wipes that out. Finally, he says, you know, I'm not good at public speaking, God. I got a D- in speech in high school. And I'm not your man, right? And God is starting to get a little irritated with him at this point. But in chapter 4, verse 13, it is one of the most honest statements I've ever read in Scripture. And Moses said this, oh, my Lord, please send somebody else. I mean, that is just bluder. That's real. That's honest. That's you. That's me, right? Please, Lord, just send somebody else. And God says, not you, Moses. You're the man. I got a plan, and everything you need, I'm going to give to you. So he gave him the miraculous signs. He gave him the strength. He gave him the courage. He even gave him Aaron, his brother, to be his mouthpiece. You see, God will provide. If God is calling upon you to make a change, God will give you what you need. That doesn't mean that it's easy. Moses had all kinds of challenges. It doesn't mean that we just step out blindly. Moses had to use all of his intellect, all of his strength, all of his cunning and reasoning as he led the people out. But what it means is God gave him everything that he needed along the way, and God will give you what you need as well. Whatever it happens to be at that moment in time. God gave miraculous signs to Moses. Who says that God won't have miraculous signs to you if you have the eyes of faith to see it? I mean, this is the God who gave up his son for you. This is the God who died for you and rose again. What more do we need? God provides. But change is hard. Change is difficult because change is a process. But if God's calling upon you to change something in your life, you rely on God's presence. Know that God's got a plan and that God's going to provide. Amen. Would you stand and pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for providing everything that we need. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to us and making your presence known and now being ever present with us. And God, we just ask, if you're asking us to make a change in our lives, may we look to you and you alone and ask the right questions. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be